Today, for our message, we're going to continue to work our way through John. We're up to chapter 7 in John, and we're going to continue to deepen our understanding of our gospel foundations. The gospel, or the good news of Jesus Christ, of course, is the foundation of our faith, and so we want to have a good, solid understanding of what that gospel message is, who Jesus truly is and what he's done. And one of the things that I've noticed as we've been working our way through John is a focus on belief in Jesus. You see it right away in the beginning of John, John 1:12, a passage that many people have memorized as part of a gospel, or sharing the gospel. It says, "Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." We're called to believe in Jesus. We read about Jesus healing a man who had been crippled for 38 years. And he told that man to believe in him, to trust him beyond his understanding. Last week in John 6, Jesus challenged the crowd of people that he fed, the crowd of 5,000 some people that he fed with the few fish and loaves of bread. They saw that miracle and they wanted more. And when they came to him asking for more, he said, "Believe in me." He called to them something greater than just believing in his ability to provide, but to believe in him. He told them that the work of God is to believe in him. You can see in all of this that the kind of belief that Jesus calls people to is not just a matter of acknowledging his existence or even acknowledging what he does, but to believe in who he truly is. And I think that's a desire that so many of us have. As I wrote that statement, I thought about how many of us have this deeply embedded desire that people know us as we truly are. We don't want people just to acknowledge that we exist. We don't want them to just believe in what we can do for them. We want people to be curious about us. We want people to know who we are. Not just put us into some category of people that they think we are, but to really come to know us, to pay attention and know who we truly are. This is something that I've learned throughout my training for Treehouse. We seek to show people that they matter as a person made by God beyond what they can do, and that we desire to know them enough to learn about them, to listen to them, and love them for who they truly are. And so is it any really surprise that Jesus wants the same thing? Maybe this is part of the image of God that he has embedded within us, to know one another. So Jesus wants people to believe in him. In order to believe in him, we need to discover who he truly is. And even if you're someone who already believes in Jesus, many of us here have been Christians for many years. We know that Jesus is the Son of God, our Savior. But it's also important for us to re-examine our attitudes toward him, to ask, what are we believing him for? Do we look to him for what he provides? Or do we understand who he is and continue to love him for who he is? It's important to remain open and curious about him, learning new things that we've never considered before. There's always something new we can learn about someone. So as we move into chapter 7 and 8 of John, you see several questions being raised about who Jesus is. And that's why I want to talk about who is Jesus today. You'll see people in here ask who Jesus is. They'll make accusations about him. And in the end, Jesus makes a powerful statement about who he is. And so we're going to walk through chapters 7 and 8. I'm not going to read the whole things, but I'm going to highlight certain sections. And as we do that, look at the questions that are being raised. Look at how people are asking about who Jesus is and what Jesus is saying about himself. And we'll consider for ourselves who we believe Jesus to be. So let me start this by reading John chapter 7, verses 1 through 10. And then we'll dig into this a little bit more. So verse 1 says, "After this, Jesus went about in Galilee. He would not go about in Judea because the Jews were seeking to kill him. Now the Jews' feast of the booths was at hand. So his brothers said to him, 'Leave here and go to Judea, that your disciples may also see the works you are doing. For no one works in secret if he is going to be known openly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world.' For not even his brothers believed in him. Jesus said to them, 'My time has not yet come, but your time is always here. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify about it that its works are evil. "You go up to the feast. I am not going up to the feast, for my time has not fully come." And after saying this, he remained in Galilee. So, just as a background, as we walk into this chapter, you see Jesus is staying in Galilee. He's going around teaching and doing his work there. Galilee is that northern frontier of Israel's kingdom. It's where Jesus grew up. And you see here his brothers are urging him to go back to Judea, go down to Jerusalem for this festival and make yourself known, right? They see the things that Jesus is doing in Galilee and they're like, go out there and make a name for yourself. Let everyone else see what you're doing. If you're going to be known, go down to Jerusalem and let people see you. They want Jesus to be famous. Notice in verse 5, it says that not even Jesus' brothers believed in him. Now, they believed in what he could do. They believed that people would follow him. They believed that he could make a name for himself. But still, they didn't believe in who he was. This is what Psalm 69 even predicted about the Messiah. It says, "I am a foreigner to my own family, a stranger to my mother's children." Jesus' brothers grew up with him. He was there for their whole lives. But how well did they really know him? Jesus tells them his time has not yet come. And yet they you get the sense that they wanted something for Jesus. They wanted him to go out and make a name for himself. They knew what he could do and they saw an opportunity for him to become famous. They weren't really considering who Jesus really is and what's best for him. And that raises a question for us, I think. How often do we do that to Jesus? How often do we ask him to do things that we think he should be doing in our lives, in the world, because of something we want to see done? How many times, I think, have I prayed, Jesus, come and change this situation, change these people, change the world, because of what I want to see happen, because of maybe my impatience for God's word to be done? We say, Jesus, come and change the circumstances of my life. But are those requests coming from a desire of our own hearts? Are they based on a really accurate understanding of Jesus? Or is it just something that we want for him? When we want something from God, we need to ask ourselves who he really is and what we're asking. Does it align with his will and his role for the world? Am I seeking what's best for him to be known? Or am I just seeking something that I want? And it may be that those overlap at some time. But I think it's important for us to ask, are we truly asking God to do what his will is? Or do we just want him to follow our desires? What Jesus' brothers were doing here is asking him to do what they wanted him to do. So they left and went to Judea, and Jesus stayed in Galilee for a time. But then as you continue reading, you read that Jesus did go secretly down to Jerusalem for the feast. And by this time, he had become known for his teaching and his miraculous deeds. So people were looking for him. And people started to ask the question, who is he? Is he somebody to be trusted? Some people say that he's a good man. Others are suspicious of him, but afraid to talk out or talk about it because the leaders in Jerusalem were already against him. And as you read through chapter 7, there's a certain point where Jesus comes forward and begins to teach. So let's pick up again in verse 14 in John 7. It says that about the middle of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and began teaching. The Jews therefore marveled, saying, how is it that this man has learning when he has never studied? And so Jesus answered them, my teaching is not mine, but his who sent me. If anyone's will is to do God's will, he will know whether the teaching is from God or whether I'm speaking on my own authority. And so when people start questioning Jesus on his teaching, they see this great teaching that he's doing. They wonder where it comes from. Jesus tells them it comes directly from God, which is a pretty bold statement, honestly. Basically, he's saying, I didn't just learn this. God gave it to me directly. And that's going to raise some questions for people about who he is. Is he a prophet? Is he something more than just a teacher? As he continues teaching, some people begin to question whether he actually is a good person. Let's jump down to verse 19. Jesus is saying to the people, has not Moses given you the law? Yet none of you keeps the law. Why do you seek to kill me? In response to that, rather than being convicted by what Jesus said and acknowledging that they don't follow the law, they say, you're a demon, or you have a demon. And they question, who is it that's seeking to kill you? Of course, Jesus knows that the leaders of Israel are seeking to kill him. He says that I did one work and you all marvel at it. Moses gave you circumcision. Not that it came from Moses, but from the fathers. And you circumcise a man on the Sabbath. And if on the Sabbath a man receives circumcision, that's so that the law of Moses may not be broken. You're angry with me because on the Sabbath I made a whole man's whole body well. There's this debate rising up about who Jesus is. Is he really a man of God? Is he really following God's law? The leaders of Israel have already said that he's not because he healed a man on Sabbath. Jesus was stirring up people with all these questions about himself. They're seeking to know who he is. Yet the religious leaders wanted to put a stop to it. They didn't trust Jesus already. They had already decided that they were against him. And they started to try to stop people from asking those questions. And this is, again, a point for us to stop and reflect, I think. Do we stop people from raising questions about Jesus because we're afraid they might get the answers wrong? Do we stop them from trying to ask what we think are the wrong kinds of questions? Do we fear what they might decide if they ask those questions? I've heard countless stories about people living a portion of their life in fear of Christians and fear of the church because they were afraid to ask the questions that they had on their heart. And they turned to other people to find validation for what they were seeking. But it wasn't until some Christians allowed them to ask the questions freely, to explore wherever their hearts and minds were leading, to discover who Jesus was, that they actually found Jesus. The religious leaders of Jesus' time were trying to stop the people from asking those questions, from coming to know who Jesus was. We need to be careful that we don't do the same in other people's lives and that we don't do it for ourselves. It's okay to ask questions about Jesus. If you have a question in your heart, if you find yourself coming to places that you're not sure how your life lives up to what God presents in the Bible, it's okay to ask questions about it. And we want to be open to those questions here, exploring them together, trusting that Jesus will lead us to the truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He knows what every person needs, and he will guide them to him faithfully. So let's take that lesson from what we see the religious leaders doing with Jesus and the people, to allow the questions to be raised. Now let's go back to the text and look at a few more of the questions that are raised about Jesus. On the last day of the festival, Jesus makes a bold statement. So we're going to jump down to John 7, verses 37 through 39. It says that on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. When people heard those words, that's a bold statement again, "Believe in me, and you will never thirst again." People began to wonder if there was something more to Jesus. They said, is he really the prophet? Others said that he was the Messiah, the Christ. But then again, that raised questions about where he came from. They still had this belief, this stereotype, that the Messiah can't possibly come from Galilee. There was all kinds of division being raised about Jesus, and people wanted to arrest him. All this turmoil is going on because people don't know who Jesus is, and they're not certain. They wondered, is he crazy? Is he demon-possessed? Is he lying? Or is there something truthful about what he's saying? Is there something more to him? Is he someone directly from God offering spiritual fulfillment? On hearing all these doubts and questions being raised, Jesus began to speak more boldly as you move into chapter 8. But his bold statements raise even more doubts for people who aren't ready to believe. Let's go ahead and go to chapter 8 and read verses 12 and 13. It says, again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. The Pharisees said to him, you are bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true. And Jesus answered that even if he does bear testimony about myself, my testimony is true, for I know where I came from and where I am going. And we can continue to walk through this chapter and you'll see a similar pattern going on. The Pharisees are raising doubts about Jesus. They hear these words, that if you believe in me, you'll never thirst again. You'll never hunger again. There's this light that I will give you. And to them, that sounds like crazy talk. How can a man offer such things? There must be something wrong with him. And yet, to those who did believe, they saw the truth in what Jesus said and discovered the spiritual truth that he was talking about. In the end of this chapter, Jesus makes the most outrageous claim at all, of all that a man could make. There is a debate continuing with him about who he was. In verse 48 of chapter 8, it says, the Jews answered him, are you not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? They're casting even more doubt on Jesus. As they continue this debate, Jesus brings up that he has seen their father Abraham. Now, how can Jesus, who's not even 50 years old, they say, see Abraham, who's been dead for ages? And that just pushes them too far. How can this man, this teacher of Jesus, know Abraham, their ancestor? And Jesus says, starting in verse 58, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. And that statement, I am, is the phrase that God gave to Moses as his own name. And so in saying that, Jesus is identifying himself as God himself. I am. So we're left with all these questions about who is Jesus. Is he a great teacher? The people heard him teach. They were amazed and believed what he said was an incredible teaching. They wondered where it could possibly come from. Is he a miracle worker? People had seen him heal. They'd seen him feed thousands of people. And yet when people came to him believing in those things, he told them to look past temporary things and see something more in him. And as he described what more he could offer, it was things like, you will never thirst, you will never hunger, you will never die. He identified himself with God. Now, is that the teaching of a great man? Or is that the teaching of somebody who is deceived, possibly demon-possessed? Those are the questions that were being raised. And you can understand why people might question that if they couldn't see the truth in what Jesus was saying. Jesus is calling us to believe something about him beyond what our human experience can account for. He is something greater than a man. And each one of us has to choose what we're going to believe. Those who have not yet believed in Jesus need to wrestle with these things that he says and decide if they're going to believe in him beyond their experience. Is it true that there is this man who's come from God, who identifies with God himself, who can offer us a life that fulfills us beyond anything else that this world can offer? That's what Jesus is calling us to believe on. Do we trust him with that? Or do we just believe him to be a man saying things that he can't possibly provide? Now, as Christians, we have seen the truth in what Jesus has said. We do recognize and believe that he is the Son of God, that these things that he said about himself are true, that he can offer us a life of everlasting fulfillment. When he talks about not hungering and not thirsting, he's talking about a spiritual side of life, spiritual fulfillment. He offers us eternal life. He offers us unending grace. And once you believe in him and you receive his spirit, you understand those things to be true. We believe and have experienced in several ways that ongoing fulfillment of living hope and lasting joy that only He can offer. The challenge for us who already believe that, I think, is to live out that belief day after day. We praise Jesus as Lord on Sunday when we gather together. But how do we believe in Him in our daily lives? Do you see Him in the same way when you go to work on Monday? When you are at home, when you're on the road, wherever you go, do you continue to believe in Jesus as He is, or do we start to see Him in other ways? Does our belief in Him start to diminish when we experience certain things in life? Or do we hold on to the truth that we know and allow that truth to change our thinking? And let that truth guide us through life. We need to ask ourselves as Christians, who is Jesus to me every day and in every situation? And to hold on to the truth that we know and not just our experiences. To hold on to the truth that we know even when we don't feel it in every moment. Let's not let the truth of who Jesus is and our belief in Him falter when we encounter difficult situations in life. Jesus wants to be known by us. He wants to be known as He truly is, fully. Not just someone who can provide for us. Not just someone who can comfort us. Not just someone who can change the world and do miracles, but as our Lord and Savior. As somebody who wants to be with us in every moment of life, who desires fellowship with us. He wants to be our Lord, He wants to be our protector and our provider. He wants us to see, to look to Him in every part of our lives. Every decision we make, everything that we encounter, to let who He is affect us. And not just bring Him in later when we want something from Him. This is the challenge I see as Jesus is speaking to the people. Where they're always looking for what He can give them, and He constantly says, believe in me. Believe in me. Let's let that call echo in our lives as we live out our lives day after day. Believe in Jesus. Believe in Him beyond the things that we know He can do. Believe in who He is, that He is our Lord and Savior, today, tomorrow, and always, and that will never change. Who is Jesus to you? Let's let that challenge echo in our hearts and hang on to what we know to be true. And if you haven't come to know Jesus yet, I encourage you to just consider all that He has done, all that is written about Him in the Bible, all that we experience in our lives today, and let those things... Let those things change the way we think about Him and lead us into a faith, believing Him to be more than just a man, but the Son of God Himself. Let's give thanks that God has sent His Son, that we can trust in Him, and that He changes our lives. Let's pray together, and then we'll sing our closing song. Heavenly Father, we do thank You for Your love, for Your presence. We thank You for sending us Your Son and for the challenge that You give us to live a life of faith beyond what we can see and know on our own, Lord. Jesus says some challenging things. And if He is just a man, it's hard to believe in those things. And so we know You've left us with a choice to either believe that they are not true or to believe that He is God. And we have chosen to believe that, and we have experienced the truth of that call, Lord. We thank You for the difference You make in our lives, and we ask You to help us to see Jesus as He truly is, day after day. In Jesus' name, amen.